everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today it is my privilege to sit with Rabbi Shalom Tendler, Kashrus Administrator at the Star K. Thank you, Rabbi Tendler, for being here once again.
Pleasure. Thank you for
I must tell
back.
You that the last time you were here, we had a great conversation, and I heard tremendous feedback to it. I want to talk to you today about vertical farming. It's a term that some of our viewers may be familiar with, probably most not. So first tell us, what is vertical farming and what is the difference between vertical farming and hydroponics?
So it's an excellent question. We get these questions about these types of products all the time. Vertical farming is a new technology, relatively new technology, that is kind of taking the market by storm, not necessarily the Jewish market, but the non-Jewish market too. It's somewhat similar to hydroponic in the sense that it's grown in an enclosed environment of sorts, but I think the biggest similarity that it has to hydroponic is a sense that it's not grown in an open field. You know, after that, that's why people confuse the two terminologies a lot. So let's clarify what the two things mean first.
Right. Now we're talking about, just to clarify before I was remiss, that we're talking about growing vegetables.
Yes.
Right? That's what it is. That's what hydroponics is.
That's good.
That's a vertical farming.
We're not taking anything for granted.
We're not taking anything for granted. We're talking about growing vegetables in what we would call an unconventional way. A conventional way of growing vegetables in soil and the ground.
That's right.
And this is new technology, so to speak.
Right.
Not technological, but it's new innovation to grow vegetables in a different way.
Correct. So hydroponic is something people are very familiar with. It's something that was a lot of the Israeli companies moved to just because they're limited on space. And in America, it's become a big thing also. It's become a big thing in many, many countries in the world. In Europe, it's a big thing also because you're limited on space and also because it's so cold. So anything that doesn't involve being subject to the elements outside, then, you know, is always going to be a plus when it comes to growing vegetables. So the idea of hydroponics is basically hydro. It's grown in water. And the idea is that they take the vegetables, and instead of growing them in soil, they grow them in water. Now, it's not exactly inside water because obviously the vegetables would drown. So they do is they take vegetable, put it in a little piece of soil, and submerge it in tanks of water. That's in a very simplistic way what they do. They feed it whatever nutrients it's necessary to feed it, and it basically grows in this tube of water. That's the idea of hydroponics. So from a kosher standpoint, which the focus obviously is on infestation, so it's something that is a big improvement from open fields technically, because you're not dealing with the same issues that every open field is subject to. You don't have the environment, which is tons of soil and dirt and, you know, dust and things that are around. It could be a much more clean environment sometimes.
And also you're more controlled, right?
It's more controlled.
Not, it's not exposed.
It's more controlled, right? The problem is with hydroponic is that it's far from perfect. We've been to many, many hydroponic operations. It's very far from perfect because...
As far as infestation,
it's far from perfect. I'm not saying it's not better. It certainly is better, but it's still far from perfect. And again, in Kashrus, we don't want to eat any bugs, right? So it's still far from that standard. And the reason is because there's many other inherent challenges with hydroponics. Number one is that how enclosed is enclosed? So in the kosher world, we talk about enclosed, we're talking about in a warehouse, right? Like something that is completely 100%
impenetrable.
It's impenetrable for bugs, anything. That's the idea that we're looking for in kashrus. And in the non-kosher world, that's not at all the case. They're looking for something that simply is able to control the temperature. So they're dealing with a very cold environment. So you can screen something in, put up a few glass panels, and you have the sun shining in, you add a heater or two, and you know, and you can have a controlled enough environment where the temperature is conducive to growing vegetables for hydroponic. You also can change the water temperature, and that also adds heat. But again, they're not necessarily as insulated and sealed as, you know, what you would expect in a kosher certified situation. That's number one. Number two is that you're dealing with a lot of water. Water attracts insects, right? So that's something that has to be mitigated, whether it's in the holding tanks or whether in the water itself, they're getting it from a well, right? Or they're getting it from municipal water. Is it filtered? Isn't it filtered?
Right.
How they filter it, they have to add the nutrients to it, so they have to be careful how much they filter it. All these little things
make a big difference.
And we've seen that many times in many hydroponic operations we visited. They're starting, very far ahead of open field, but unless they're willing to pay attention to the small details that it would require to produce kosher lettuce, no one can assume, and here's the buzzword or the soundbite that we want to get out of this is that nobody should assume that just because you go to the store and find a bag of hydroponic lettuce without a heksher on it, that it's bug free. Absolutely not. It's completely not true. Mm-hmm. You can have the same types of insects, aphids, thrips, that you have in regular open field. Less common, but water bugs and water worms, fungus, gnats, all these things are very common in closed environments. Also, white flies are also something that's very common in closed environments. And these are all things that are challenges that any hydroponic operation is going to have to grapple with and struggle with in order to become kosher certified. And I'm not saying there aren't those that do. They do, but don't make any assumptions just because it's hydroponic, it's going to be kosher. That's hydroponic. We get to vertical farming. Vertical farming is a somewhat similar but very different technology. Vertical farming is made with ideally needing even less resources than hydroponic, which means that they're not really using tanks or tubs or tubes of water at all. It's really a completely artificial environment. And what they do is basically take anything from, I've seen places that use pieces of burlap sack or places that use any kind of, it could be dirt, sometimes it's dirt, sometimes it's really just like a piece of cardboard, and they put the seed on there, they water it and let it germinate, and it basically grow on a piece of cardboard, grow lettuce. Now, how does that work? Mm-hmm. Because the entire environment around it is artificial. They have ultraviolet lights. Give it whatever water is the bare minimum that's necessary just to be able to grow this plant. Now,
and just out of curiosity, the taste of these products are indiscernible from traditional vegetables?
No comment. I'll leave that to the consumer. You know, they're all available on the market in various forms, the various companies, some with Ashkaga, some without.
I'm just curious, what's the prevailing notion?
The prevailing notion is the reason what's pushing the industry in the non-Jewish world is the availability, ideally. And now it hasn't gotten there yet where you can have hydroponic or vertical farming that is at the same price point a regular open field. That hasn't happened yet. I mean, right now it's not even that close, but
it's much more expensive.
It's more expensive, yeah. But the idea is that you can bring farm fresh lettuce to downtown. I'll just throw a city random out, downtown Chicago or any middle urban area,
big city.
You can grow fresh lettuce in a parking garage, an enclosed environment
similar. It's a game changer.
It's a game changer. You know, restaurants like it. They can say it's farm fresh, it's grown, and it's a big marketing thing. And there's also another point to it is that because it's all artificial, this I've seen, you can play with the nutrients to get whatever taste you want out of it. We once years ago dealt with a vertical farming company that's no longer in business, and they were producing lettuce for Pesach, which we'll get to. But I tasted it and I was like, this is romaine lettuce. This was really bitter. He's like, yeah, we changed the nutrients and made it taste bitter.
Really?
Yeah. So you can do whatever you want.
That's interesting.
You know, it's really an all completely artificial type of environment.
How do you compare the infestation level of vertical farming as compared to hydroponically grown vegetables?
So it has some miles and some chisrainus. I mean, again, first of all, the insulation. Is it completely insulated against outside elements or not? That's one thing to look for. The other thing is that it's certainly less water involved, and therefore that has that advantage where it doesn't have necessarily all the problems that they have with water. But it's not exactly 100% that way. It has to be a moist environment.
Right.
So if it's not really controlled properly, then you can end up with fungus gnats. You can end up with all kinds of other water insects and bugs. And we've seen that. Inevitably, there's a water source somewhere, right? So if it's not also completely sealed up, and we've seen there's puddles on the floor, sometimes you end up with flies. In the packing room, there's these small things that really make a big difference.
Right.
And we visited a number of these facilities. And some of them were cleaner than others. None of them were necessarily perfect at the get-go, and all needed to make whatever various adjustments needed in order to be able to get to become kosher certified. Some of them decided to go through the tircha, and some of them decided not to. You know, from their standpoint, where they're trying to grow for the non-kosher market, it was always good enough. So the question is, how valuable is the kosher market that they're willing to go all the way and try to get it 100% kosher certified?
Now, before we go further, I have to ask what probably many viewers are wondering. When something is grown like this, does it affect the bracha? I mean, are we assuming that it's still hadama, or does it become shahakol?
Excellent question. So we had this discussion with Rav Haim and Shlita. It's come up a few times. Every agency that deals with this had this question. So first, from the standpoint of the hashgacha that's certifying it, what do they do to tell consumers that's hydroponic? Because sometimes when you go to the supermarket, you don't have no idea. Meaning they're not selling, they're selling you a head of lettuce, they're selling you leaves of lettuce. You don't necessarily know if it's hydroponically grown. So what we've done, and I think many other agencies do the same, is that they make sure to write on the package hydroponically grown.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully people get the hint.
And they'll go to their Rav.
Go to their Rav to ask. A lot of them feel it would be presumptuous to say whether it's Hadama or Shahakal, just because it's a big machlokes paiskim. I think believe the Chayadam and different paiskim hold that it has to be something physically grown in the ground in order to be buried pre-Hadama.
Mm-hmm.
And Shlomo Zalman, and I'll say I spoke to David Feinstein, just kind of the Racha, about this exact Shaila, and he held it was Hadama still.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he held it was Hadama still. So the question was, can we sell it for Pesach with the Seder? Okay, that far, you know, you'd have to go ask your own Rav, but, you know, it's a solid
I was going to say, that would be the next question. Is it considered real Chazeres?
Right. There's solid price on both sides, but for year-round use is one shiloh, and for Pesach, where you kind of have to make hadoma, is a different shiloh, and that's everyone will have to ask their own rub about that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as bringing the product to market, you know, these are the small nakudas that make a big difference when it comes to certifying them, as far as being kosher certified or not. Now, you can have a company that has a number of facilities, whether it's hydroponic or vertical farming, and some of them are going to be kosher certified, and some of them are not. Some of them went the extra mile to put in the proper controls that are necessary, and some of them didn't. And that's why people, you know, if they see a company that is known to produce kosher lettuce and they find the same product in a non-kosher store from that company, don't assume that it's necessarily kosher just because of the name association.
I was going to ask that as well, right? Sometimes you'll see something with the same company name.
Right.
One has Ashkacha, one doesn't. There may be a reason for that.
Absolutely.
So don't assume that both are okay.
That also, by the way, is a general klal and kashrus. If you find the same product, one with a heksher, one without a heksher, don't assume it's a mistake. There's probably a reason it doesn't have it, whether it's potato chips, whether it's yogurts, whether it's many, many things like that. Usually things that are certified have Ashkacha on them, and things that aren't don't, and there's a reason for that.
Another thing I wanted to ask, which is, I believe, a question I asked when we discussed on this program about bechlal, generally bagged vegetables and things like that. Even if something is grown hydroponically, and even if it's certified by a certifying agency as being insect-free, do I have to worry about anything happening in transit? So from the factory to the store, from the store to my house, I'm assuming it's vacuum-packed, but do I have to worry that when it comes into my house, I have to do a check because of insects that may have entered the packaging, you know, again, in transit?
Usually not. I'm not aware of any such thing like that. And I could tell you the way generally lettuce is transported already from the field. They have between a 2 to 4 hour cut, the cool time, what they call it, where it's harvested in the field. Within 2 to 4 hours, it has to be cooled down to 36 degrees. And their goal, which is what they strive for, the big companies, is to keep it at that temperature until it's in the bag. So at those temperatures, bugs are going to be washed out.
Right.
There no bugs are going to hatch at that temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not really a concern.
Got it. Any final thoughts on this topic? Hydroponics, vertical farming, anything else to share with our viewers?
I would say, again, the only thing I would emphasize is that understand that it need none of these things guarantee that their product is kosher without a proper certification on it, because that's something that, you know, we had someone called not so long ago that they bought in 7 Mile Market, which is a big kosher supermarket in Baltimore, a container of butter lettuce, and it said insect-free, hydroponically grown, and they found a bug in it. And they were calling to complain or whatever. I mean, we didn't certify the product.
Right.
And I'm not aware of any butter lettuce at all that's certified with a heksher, like bechlal, anywhere in the world. So I said, are you sure it's kosher certified? So she's looking, and she starts laughing. She said the label was a little bent and didn't say insect-free. It said insecticide-free.
Big difference.
Big difference. Know the big dangerous difference between that. Right, so check the packages carefully. Any of these items that, you know, have a reliable kosher certification on it obviously would be reliably certified.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're not, don't assume that the technology alone, whether it's vertical farming, hydroponic, is enough to ensure that this product is going to be kosher.
Fantastic. This is a great conversation. Thanks for educating. And thanks again for being here.
Pleasure. Thank you.